have you in this place today worshiping the Lord. So, Chad, I'm sorry to hear about your beard, man, you know, with the mask. Do y'all feel like the mask sort of erases the smile off your face when you go places? Isn't that crazy? So I walk around, I feel like, you know, kind of a zombie with this thing on. But thank you for showing up today to come and worship the Lord here at Bear Creek. I do want to thank those who are online visiting us online. Let me mention this. We've had some problems with our online live stream feed. So bear with us. What we're going to be doing is recapturing things on recording on Sunday morning, reposting that on our website. That way, if you run into glitches at home, don't stress out. You can just watch the service later in the day. Today, we're going to start a new sermon series. It's called Hearing God. How many of y'all want to hear from God? Amen. We need a revival, don't we? Need a revival in our country. We need an awakening for God's people to awaken to what He is doing. He is speaking constantly. Are we listening? That's the question. Are we listening? Did you know if you're a follower of Christ, God is at work in you? He is at work in you. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." For your good pleasure? No, for His good pleasure. And He is at work constantly in our lives. God is speaking. And so the question is, do you hear Him? Well, some do, right? And some don't hear Him. And as a pastor, you know, it's not too unfamiliar to come across a person who will come up to me and say, "Look, God is speaking to my life. He is alive. I've been in His Word this week, and the Lord is just speaking to me heavily right now." And then 2 minutes later, I'll turn and there'll be another person standing in front of me and saying, "I'll tell you what, God is so silent. I haven't heard from God in years." And what is the difference? And how do we hear from God? Well, Max Lucado, he wrote a short story. I really love this. Listen to this. He says this, "Once there was a man who dared God to speak. 'Burn the bush like you did for Moses, God, and I will follow you. Collapse the walls like you did for Joshua, God, and I will fight for you. Still the waves like you did on Galilee, God, and I will listen to you.' And so the man sat by a bush near a wall close to the sea, and he waited for God to speak. And God heard the man. And God answered the man, and He sent fire, not for a bush, but for a church. And He brought down a wall, not of brick, but of sin. And He stilled the storm, not of the sea, but of the soul. And God waited for man to respond, and He waited, and He waited, and He waited. But because the man was looking at the bushes, not the heart, he was looking at the bricks, not the lives. He was looking at the sea, not the souls. He decided that God had done nothing. So finally, he looked up to God and he asked, 'Have you lost your power?' And God looked down to him and says, 'Have you lost your hearing?' God is always speaking. And that is just like God, isn't it? We expect God to do things our way, but God works differently than we do. And he's waiting for you to get on board His ship and to get off of yours. He's waiting for you to get off of your agendas and the way that you expect to hear from Him, to, again, just burn your ship so you can get on His ship and He can take you places. And it's hard. As people who live on this earth, live in these flesh bodies, And we rely so much on our senses, don't we? Our sense of hearing and smell and taste. And we rely on all these physical senses. But God is spiritual. Do you realize that we are spiritual beings on a physical journey here on earth? We're not physical beings on a spiritual journey. We are on this earth living these spiritual lives in these physical bodies, is what I'm saying. So today, our series, it's titled Hearing God. And we're going to talk about how to hear from God. We'll take a look at a story in the Bible, and we'll share some practical ways on how to hear from God. And so turn with me, if you would. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 1. Once you get to 1 Samuel chapter 3, say hallelujah. Okay. Y'all there? So it says this. It says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no frequent vision." So Eli is old. He's a priest of God. And Samuel is a young man. He's probably around 12 years old during this time. And so it says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Why would that be? Well, we know that during this time, God's people had turned their hearts away from him. And the spiritual leaders were corrupt. And God had gone silent. But God was about to change the situation by calling this young man Samuel. Samuel was with Eli, the priest. And Eli was very old. And it says in verse 2, "At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, began to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place." So there's Eli lying in his own place. "And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel, young Samuel, was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." So here's Eli, and Eli is a priest, and he takes care of the temple. He's a temple priest. And he is mentoring this young man, Samuel, for the priesthood. God has plans for Samuel. And so Eli's lying down in his own place. Who knows where that is? It's just outside of the temple and somewhere close. And in Eli, he's lying there, and Samuel was lying in the temple near the ark. And it says in verse 4, "Then the Lord called Samuel." He's calling this young boy. And he said, and Samuel says, "Here I am." Verse 5, "And he ran to Eli and he said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down." So the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel thinks it's Eli calling him from the other room or from the other area. "And the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and he went to Eli and he said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.'" Look at verse 7. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." And so Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed. And he's still thinking Eli is calling him, right? Verse 8, "And the Lord called Samuel again." This is number 3, the third time. "And he rose and he went into Eli and he said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and he laid down in his place. I love that. Samuel or Eli perceived that the Lord was speaking, and so he gives him a suggestion. Go in there. And look what it says in verse 10. He says, go in there and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, and Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Now, Eli's two sons were wicked, all right? And so God had a judgment for Eli and his family, and God says, I'm going to fulfill that. Verse 13, he says, and I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifices or offerings forever. And this was the passage that, and this is the this is what we find out about this story. And he goes on. He says in verse 14. He says this. It says, therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli because he knew it was pretty bad news for Eli. He says in verse 16, but Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here am I. And Eli said, what was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me, all that that he told you. So Eli really wants to know what the Lord said. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And listen to what Eli says. He said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel and at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And so from this passage, we learn that hearing God requires some things. Number one, and you're going to see this on the screen, it requires knowing God. Knowing God. In verse 7, we see Samuel, that Samuel didn't know it was God speaking. Why? It says in verse 7, Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him. See, a lot of people are content with just sort of being acquainted with God, or they're content with just being affiliated with God, right? Or associated to God in some way. A lot of people are content with that. But that's not the same as knowing God. It's not the same as knowing God. It's one thing to know about God. You know, the Bible says even the demons believe God. They believe in God, okay? Even the demons believe and shudder. So it's one thing to believe that he exists. It's one thing to be affiliated with him and say, you know, I go to church. But it's quite another thing to be intimately acquainted with God, to know him personally, to be close. And I'll tell you, one of the things that we teach here at Bear Creek, and we stress heavily, is that it's how important it is to know God in relationship, not religion. Not a dead religion. because he brings life to those who pursue him and seek after him and come to know him. And so we want all people to know him intimately and closely. And that's why giving our attention to things like statues and saints and cathedrals and things like that, that is just a dead religion. And God calls us to know him and to know him personally. And so we see here, one of the things that God requires in hearing his voice is that we know him. And so young Samuel didn't respond to God's voice because it says he didn't know the Lord. So that's number one, knowing God. Number two is knowing how he speaks. How does God speak? And we see here Samuel knew somebody was calling him, right? He thought it was Eli. He knew somebody was prompting him. He knew somebody was sort of moving him in some sort of way, but he thought it was Eli in the other room. And so Eli gave him this real wise word, this word of advice. And he says, look, when you go back in there, here's what you say. When you hear that voice calling out to you, Samuel, say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. And I'll tell you, I have been reading that all week in this passage. And I'll tell you, if we would just have that sort of posture as believers, that sort of positioning as believers, it's sort of like having a catcher's mitt to receive from God. And we lived and we walked and we lived by faith in such a way that we walked around and we just said, Lord, speak. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant hears you. I am ready for you to speak. And I feel like Eli really just blessed Samuel with that word of advice. So number one is knowing God, but number two is knowing how God speaks. And God speaks in different ways, doesn't he? I mean, he speaks in all sorts of different ways. And so this whole week, I've been looking at different ways that God speaks. He speaks through his Holy Spirit. He speaks through the creation. Scripture says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And so he speaks in a lot of different ways. But I always want to zero in on a few things and a few ways that he speaks to you specifically. Wouldn't you like to know that? So number one is through the Bible. Through God's word. That's the primary way that God speaks. And I'll tell you, praise the Lord that he gave us his word, that he gave us the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture. And so when he says all scripture, he doesn't mean some, right? When he says all scripture, he doesn't mean a little. When he says all means what? All means all. Good. You're gonna get an A today, y'all. All means all. All scripture is God-breathed, out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. See, when God's word goes out, it's not like reading a book, and it's not like reading a letter. It's like reading life. And he's speaking this word of life into you. His word goes out. And scripture says his word does not return void. Do you believe that today? Do you believe in his word today? Do you believe in the power of God's word today? I'll tell you, God's word is under attack. It's under attack. And we hold to this truth here at Bear Creek, that God's word is inerrant, it is without error, it is authoritative, it speaks authority over you, it's authoritative for your life, okay? It's wholly inspired by God. And I'll tell you, just like he says here, it's profitable. It's profitable for what? It's profitable to give you life. It is just that important. And so here's what God does. He blesses us with an owner's manual. And it's like we're getting an owner's manual and a map at the same time. When he provides the word, when we hold the word of God, and I'll tell you, there was from the point that Jesus was when he died, buried, was resurrected, and he came back for that 40-day period, he ascended to God the Father for the last time. From that point till today, you know, 300 years, they didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have this New Testament. And so it took time for them to pull these letters and these things together. These were eyewitnesses that wrote about God through God's inspiration to speak into your life. And here we are 2,000 years later, and God is still speaking. He's still changing lives. We still hear testimonies of what his word is doing. It is powerful. You know, I read a study they did from North Carolina State University, and they did a study, it was about 10 years ago, on how many people actually refer to owner's manuals. So owner's manuals for, you know, a car, or an owner's manual for a refrigerator or an appliance or something like that. And it said, and I was pretty surprised by this, but it said 50% of men read the owner's manual. And 45% of women read the owner's manual. Now, they're not saying they read all the way through it, because it's extremely low, those who read all the way through the owner's manual. But 57% of men go back and refer back to the owner's manual. And women, they're a little bit less, because they're just like, you know, hopefully this thing will work. But it's such a privilege to have the owner's manual. God created you. He has a purpose for you. He has a clear plan for your life. And he has designed you a certain way. If you want to learn and come to know and understand why he has you here, what kind of future and destiny he has for you, so you don't have to kind of live life trying to operate and try to figure it out on your own, from your own impulses and desires and hoping to figure things out. If you don't want to do that, and I know I don't want to do that because I always fail when I do that, he has given you his word, and it's like an owner's manual. But not only that, scripture says that he will make your crooked path straight. How does he do that? He lights the way. He lights the way. That's how important God's word is. That is the primary way that God speaks, is through his word, the Bible. Are you in the word? I remember when I was a young man in the faith, I thought that the word was interesting, and I thought that it was very informative about God, but I didn't realize how transformational it was. I just thought it was just like reading anything else. I didn't really understand it, and I really didn't have a desire to understand it. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? If you do, God intends for you to hunger and thirst for his word, because that's what will lead to it. Amen? So, the Bible, the owner's manual. You know, in scripture, there's two Greek words that refer to the word of God. One of them is logos, and you see this in John chapter 1. And logos, it means the total inspired word of God. It means a lot of things, but if when you think about logos, you think about it is the total inspired word of God. Well, it's so interesting, because in John chapter 1, it says this: in the beginning was the logos, was the word, right? Look this up, okay? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And it goes on in chapter 1, and it says, and the word became flesh and dwelled among us. So the word became a person. And so Jesus, you know, the angel told Mary that she will have a child, and she will give him the name Jesus. But before his name was Jesus, his name was the Word. He was the living Word of God. And he comes to earth, right? And the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And so listen to this. We have the written Word of God, and we have the personification of the Word of God, who is Jesus. And so what we do is we come to understand who God is through his living Word, and by fixing our eyes on the person and works of Jesus Christ. He is the living Word, all right? And so that's logos. The other word is rhema. And rhema, it just means, that Greek word means utterance. And it means the spoken word of God, the spoken word of God. And so some say that rhema is like a personalized word to you. I don't know. They look pretty synonymous, those two words do. But those are the words used in the New Testament. The word of God is a big deal. It is how we get to know God. You know, you remember that commercial, Prego commercial from years ago, the spaghetti sauce commercial? All right, so here it is. This is the 80s, so there's a lot of you that weren't even born in the 80s. But there's this, you know, mama would come out into the kitchen and she'd be cooking this Prego spaghetti sauce, you know. And her son comes in there. He's kind of disappointed. He's like, "What are you cooking, Ma?" And she's, you know, a little Italian, so I'm going to give you a little Italian accent, okay? And she says, it's spaghetti sauce. It's called a Prego. And he says, where are the mushrooms, Mom? And she says, "It's in there." And then he's like, "Where's the sausage, Mom?" "It's in there." "Well, where are the tomatoes?" "It's in there." And when we think about the Word of God, and we're like, where is freedom? It's in there. Where is truth in this world of deception and lies? Turn the TV on, y'all. Turn the TV on. Where is truth? It's in there. Where is absolute truth? When everything else is just subjective and everybody's kind of making up their own truth, where's absolute truth? It's in there. It's in there. It's the Word of God. God speaks through his Word. Are you listening? Are you listening? Number two, Scripture says that God speaks through a still small voice. This is one passage in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. And God is giving Elijah some instruction, and he says to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountain and broke it into pieces, and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, the sound of a still small voice." And it's a really cool passage about how God speaks. He speaks in a whisper, your version might say. But he was teaching Elijah that the work of God is not always sensational. Sometimes it's just a still, small voice inside. And I hope that you have experienced that yourself. It's in our spirit God speaks, on the inside. And he doesn't use fear, and he doesn't use condemnation, and he doesn't provoke us to worry. He speaks to us. In this still small voice, he speaks to our spirit. And I'll tell you, God has all sorts of ways of communicating with us. But one of the biggest problems is we're always trying to listen to him with our ears. Because that's all we've ever known before we've come to know the Lord. The only thing that we knew before coming to know the Lord is that we hear things with our ears. But God is trying to teach you to hear the still, small voice. People ask me, you know, "Pastor Scott, does God speak audibly to us today?" And I say, no, it's louder than that. It's inside. It's deeper than that. He speaks with a still small voice. And so, well, here's another question. What if it's the devil? Or what if it's me speaking to myself? Have y'all ever asked that? Was that me or is that God? Is that the devil or is that God? Is that something else or is this God? Well, here's the deal. Here's how you figure this out. You go back to the primary way of God's word and you run it through the filter of God's word and make sure it lines up. Because he'll never contradict his word. He'll never contradict his word. And that's how we test these impressions that we feel, that God is speaking. And sometimes, I'll tell you, sometimes we can be off. I know I've been off before. But he speaks in that still, small voice. You remember, and I don't want to take too much time on this, but I just thought this was really cool. You remember in Matthew chapter 16, the disciples are there, and Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And they go on, they tell what the world says. And then he says, no, okay, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Only God revealed that to you. You remember that part? Well, literally like two verses later, Jesus is telling them, he's going, I'm going to go away. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed on a cross. And Peter says, no way. I will not allow that to happen. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Why did he say that? He was listening to the wrong voice, right? He was listening to the wrong voice. It happened within two verses, okay? This is how fickle we are as people. It happened in two verses. One, he's listening to God. The next, Jesus is saying, get behind me, Satan. It's a still small voice. God speaks inside of you. Are you listening? Number three, God speaks through peace. I love this one. He speaks through peace. In Colossians 3:15 through 16, it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body to be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts for God. And so the word rule here is a Greek word, brabuo, and in the Greek it means to govern, to govern. And it's the peace of God that governs us, that governs our decisions. Let his peace rule. Let his peace rule. And when you need confirmation on something, wait for God's peace. I know how hard that is, okay? So when you don't really have but maybe $100 extra a month and you go to the car dealership, and you got a brand new truck that's calling your name. And I'll tell you, they've called my name before many times. Okay? Don't get all stirred up. You wait for the peace of God. And if you don't find peace, don't purchase the truck. Amen? It's how we stay out of debt, y'all. So we listen to the Lord. Let the word of God rule in your hearts, governing your hearts. And those are important ways. These are ways that we come to understand who God is, how he speaks, and sometimes, you know, we see a situation, we get ourselves, and we're trying to make a decision. We can't really discern what the decision is. And you know, sometimes things look real clear and real beautiful, but we just don't have a peace about it. And sometimes they look really ugly and not so good, but for some reason we have the peace of God. Y'all ever had that before? You know, where something looked really good, but you just didn't have God's peace, or something looked really bad and you had God's peace. That's happened to me many times. When I came to Bear Creek, there's a handful of people here. We had some debt, okay? When I went down the list, on paper, it really didn't look real good. But I had such a peace about it. Amen? I had such a peace about it. And so we come to know God through his word, through that still small voice. We come to know him through his peace. Number five, this next one is we come to know him through other people, through the counsel of others, making sure we're talking to the right people, right? Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. And so God uses godly people to speak in your life. Make sure you're talking to the right people. Make sure you're talking to the right people. Make sure you're talking to people that will refer you back to the Word of God. And then the last one is he speaks through circumstances. There's this verse in Revelation, I think it's Revelation chapter 3, somewhere around 7, and it talks about God opening doors and closing doors, okay? And sometimes God opens doors, and sometimes he closes doors, and our prayer is that God gives us the discernment to know when he's opening a door and he's closing a door. And so when you're saying, God, now this opportunity has come my way, Lord, and it looks like an open door, give me peace. Give me peace in this. And so you're looking for peace in those moments. And so these are the ways that God speaks. And so when we go back to Samuel, it said that Samuel didn't quite know God yet. And so here comes this wise counselor, Eli. And Eli says, well, that's God's voice that you're hearing. And he's trying to show him, because Eli is seasoned, right? And he shows him how to know God. And he gives him this incredible advice. Just say, I'm listening, Lord. Your servant is here. Your servant is listening. And so we see this. It's about knowing God. It's about knowing how he speaks. And then finally, it's about knowing what to do. It's about knowing what to do. And here's what you do. This is pretty easy. I say this all the time. Just say yes, Lord. Just say yes, Lord. Because sometimes what he's calling you to do is kind of scary, isn't it? Sometimes the things that he's calling you to do, it doesn't look right. And there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of worry, but he just wants you to be obedient. You know, any faith that doesn't lead to obedience, it's not faith, y'all. It's not faith. And so in the end, where you want to land is obedience in the end, okay? Why? Because obedience is what keeps you progressing, knowing him, growing in him, experiencing the freedom of Christ, experiencing more purpose on why you're here and why you're in this world. And he begins to give that to you. As you obey him, he begins to speak more and more. And so what happened in Samuel's time is the people's hearts had turned away. He had gone silent. And God is looking for those who will not just hear him, but who will obey him and who know what to do. I love how this closes out. It says, and Samuel, verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. So Samuel got sort of a rhythm going. And obviously, and if you read about the life of Samuel, you know, Samuel was the one that God used to select the next king, who would be King David, all right? So Samuel grew to be this amazing judge and prophet in Israel. And he grew and he learned how to hear from God. And as he heard from God, he responded, yes, Lord, and God kept progressing him and moving him towards his purpose. And he will for you too. And God grew Samuel. And it says, I like what it says at the end in verse 20. It says, and all the Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. So everybody knew, everybody saw what God was doing in his life. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. God sent his word and gave him direction, gave him guidance. And so today, here's the question. For you and for your family today. If God spoke through his word or through your circumstances, would you know it was him? Would you know it was him? Would you be able to identify that's his voice? Maybe God brought you this message today to speak something into your life, to move you to a new level, because you've been stuck for so long and you're so aggravated about being stuck and you're so frustrated about making those same dumb decisions, all right? I'm speaking from experience, okay? I was so frustrated. And then God showed me how to advance. And how we advance is we hear and we respond to God and we learn how to hear his voice. And we learn how to say, yes, Lord. Are you at that place right now? And maybe his plan for you is not just to give you a smooth life until the day you die. Maybe it's a hard road. But I'll tell you, I'd rather have a hard road with him than an easy road without him. I'd rather have a difficult road on this earth with him, because I know one day, I know what my destiny is with him. It's very clear. You either pay now or pay later, right? I know what my destiny is with him, and so I have comfort in that. And I know how to identify things that are lies now better, okay? Not fully, but I know how to identify things when a lie comes my way. How do I know how to identify a lie? Because I'm getting closer and closer to him. And the more I get to him, the more I receive more truth, right? And the closer I get to him, the closer and closer, and the more I get close to his holiness, the more I see the lie, the more I see injustice and unrighteousness, and the more it exposes itself around me. Not perfect. Just a desire in the heart to be faithful to God. It's not about being perfect. It's about a desire to please him. Do you desire to please him? And maybe his plan for you is really a plan for your children. And it's a plan to give them a hope and a future. Maybe that's why he's talking to you today. Because he really wants to do something through you into them to strengthen them and prepare them for the days and years ahead. Is God speaking to you? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time.